Fasten your seatbelts, get the tissues ready, and polish up those dancing shoes. We're going down musical memory lane with me, Monique Chambers, and a bunch of guests that have got really eclectic taste. So, this week's Musical Memories with me, Monique Chambers, and Christian Zabradami. I've interviewed before. Luckily, I understand what we're going to be saying in this show. No idea what we were talking about last time. It really went over my head. but this time we're talking about music, musical memories, and the first track on your list is ABBA's Dancing Queen. So, like you already, what's the musical memory there?
So, I was born in 1978, and I think one of my earliest memories was my little sister being born, which was about, I think I was maybe 2 years and 9 months old. And more than a memory, it's more of this kind of picture I have of her bringing me this car, which was a Fiat Ritmo sponsored by Alitalia.
Mm-hmm.
And
a model, I hope.
A model, that's right. And my mum, I guess, trying to, you know, introduce me to my new sibling was kind of, this came from baby heaven. And I just remember being in the living room, me sitting on the sofa, and my mum playing ABBA to put my baby sister to sleep. And obviously, you know, then this has always remained of these peach walls in this... In this attired house, and my mom, you know, holding my baby sister, dancing with her to tracks of ABBA, and the Dancing Queen for some reason always stood out, and I always remember it. And then of course, you know, when Mamma Mia the musicals came out, Mamma Mia 2 came out, I went to watch it with my mom and sister in a cinema in London, and all these memories came flooding back.
I knew your mum had to be involved in this. I know your mum quite well. And yeah, she is Dancing Queen, frankly.
That's right.
So I'm really, really happy that this is all about her. So we're thinking of you while we're listening to ABBA's Dancing Queen. And Raina, obviously. Now, the next one on your list, so obviously tells a bit about your character, Italia 90s Notte Magiche.
That's right. So I guess I'm also giving, again, my age away, right? But this was the first World Cup I actually remember watching with my dad and with my family. And I think this musical score, which is sung by Gianna Nannini for this thing, was actually written by a person who I got to realize what a good musician he was, a person called Giorgio Moroder, who is now, you know, defined as the father of disco. He wrote this musical score, and he it's written many other famous songs and many famous soundtracks and musical scores of films. You know, he's won four Golden Globe Awards. He was also this, as I say, the father of disco and this of modern music. But what I really liked was, I think, you know, Italia 90 was the first time that I really got into football. And I mean, I remember the hand of God in Mexico 86, just barely. And this time, you know, it was set in Italy. It was very close. There was still very much the rivalry between Italy and England, you know. And I just remember, you know, Italy playing England for the third and fourth place playoffs. And I just saw that, you know, Malta changing colours and people going cockading blue and white. So that always remained as a thing in my memory, and I still enjoy playing it nowadays.
Well, keep this one as a memory, buddy, because they're not in this year's World Cup, and England are. Yay! But we'll let you have this track, so Italian 90s, Notte Magiche.
A cambiare le regole del gioco, ma voglio viverla così questa avventura, senza frontiere, con il cuore in gola. E il mondo in una giostra di colori, è il vento a carezza le bandiere, arriva un brivido e ti trascina via, e sciogli in un abbraccio la follia. Notti magiche, inseguendo qua, sotto il cielo di un'estate italiana, e negli occhi tuoi, voglia di vincere. Comincia da bambino e che ti porta sempre più lontano, non è una favola, è dagli spogliatoi escono i ragazzi e siamo noi.
Sotto il cielo di un'estate.
cielo di un'estate italiana.
Yeah, you imagine every Italian knowing every word to that, more than, probably more than the national anthem. You know?
Most probably.
But like I said, times have passed. But moving swiftly on, we're going to Habanera from Carmen. So what memory do you have associated with this?
So this is really funny, this song. So, I mean, so Habanera from Carmen, you know, it's a famous aria, right, from Jorge Bizet. And I remember, you know, from the age of, I think, 5 to 12, I went to piano lessons, and it was a time where, you know, all I was doing on the piano was going from one exam list to another. So okay. You know, even though I got, you know, relatively advanced in my piano career, I could never, you know, sit down at a piano and play Great Balls of Fire like in Top Gun. But this one, Habanera from Carmen, is the only one I can still play by heart till this very day.
Okay.
And it's my kind of evening entertainment when guests come over. So this is really, really the only song that I can now still play on the piano without having to sight read or anything. So I've always kept this as this reference point whenever I hear it. And, you know, there's a wonderful rendition of Maria Callas singing it. I won't try to sing it because it would be make a terrible injustice to her. But it's one of my favourite tunes.
Do you ever get tempted, you know, when you see those pianos at airports, to have a go?
I do, but then, you know, I pity the travellers at the airport at the same as me, so I was afraid not. But I have to say, I have heard some very talented pianists playing in airports that were unexpectedly really good.
When I see them and they're young kids, it's always like, okay, yeah, I still can't read music. I still have no idea what's going on there. But I'm impressed that you've got that skill, so we're going to listen to somebody else's version of Habanera from Carmen.
Apprivoiser, et c'est bien au vacant l'appel, s'il lui convient de refuser. Et en effet, menace aux prières, l'un parvient, l'autre se tait. Et c'est l'autre que je préfère, il n'a rien dit, mais il me plaît.
So I'm hoping the next track is not to do with your piano career here, because it's called The Show Must Go On. So is there a link, or is this a completely different memory? This is the Queen song, of course.
Yes, this is a different memory. This is a memory from in my period of, I think it was 1994, which was the year I went from fifth form at St. Edward's College to sixth form at St. Aloysius College. And I remember that summer being one of the summers where, you know, you've got your O-level results, you're completely free, you know, you don't have A-levels for another 2 years. It was just a summer of enjoyment that was marred for me with a very particular moment, which was the sad passing away of Kurt Cobain.
Okay.
And I still remember that summer. I still remember exactly where I was. You know, it's kind of one of those 9/11 moments that you kind of always remember. And I was walking down the Bujuba Promenade and hearing the news that Kurt Cobain had passed away. And it was also at the same time that I was getting myself into Queen and into Guns N' Roses and into that period. And I remember having this Show Must Go On of Queen and, you know, the fact that Kurt Cobain passed away and there was all this music from the 80s and 70s that I was just getting myself into. And this song really always stuck out, you know, for the meaning of the song and the artist that played it.
So do you turn that on full blast sometimes when you just, you know, get a disappointment in life, you just whack it on and it's like...
I do. Not only when I have a disappointment, I just really like it, you know. It's one of those songs that is very uplifting. And when you look at, you know, what Queen did and what Queen did for the world in the 80s, you know, with Live Aid, and also the awareness of HIV, which was at that point in time, you know, a big issue, right, for sexual health. And, you know, it was also the time where sexual health and health education was coming into sixth form. And it was, you know, I was a teenager at the time. And so I thought it was a really poignant song for that time. So that's why I chose this one.
Well, we're going to put this one on. So Queen's The Show Must Go On.
Spaces, what are we living for? Abandoned places, I guess we know this score. On and on, does anybody know what we are looking for? Another hero, another mindless crime behind the curtain in the past. Hold the line. Does anybody want to take it anymore? The show must go on. The show must go on. Yeah. Inside my heart is breaking. My makeup may be flaking, but my smile still. Show must go on. Yeah. Show must go on.
That's another big track. So we've got Disco 2000 by Pulp. This is another full blaster. Where does this one take you to?
So this takes me back to 1996. So I was sort of finished sixth form. I had been accepted to read natural sciences at Cambridge, and I went up to Cambridge in October 1996. And for the first time, you know, I was living in college, making new friends from all over the world, all doing different subjects. And we were all going to graduate for our four-year course in the year 2000.
Ah.
And this one, and you know, there's this famous lyric in this song which says, "Let's all meet up in the year 2000." And it was always this. We were always playing it, you know, at our kind of undergraduate parties. And it was a time for me which was a kind of voyage of self-discovery, you know. Mm-hmm. I went from living with my parents, you know, having everything down for me, to having to do almost everything myself. And also, you know, it was quite a punishing lecture schedule, because in Cambridge the terms are only 8 weeks long.
Wow.
And you have lectures from Monday to Saturday, plus four tutorials a week where you have to prepare 16 problems. So there's a lot of hard work. But then, because you're all in college, and in the college system there are people from all the different subjects and different degrees. You know, you would meet at the college bar after being in the college library, and this song would always be played. And it was, you know, I came back to Malta, no one had heard of Pulp yet. It was still this before that. So I was actually even very popular in Malta. That's why I was playing this song when I got back.
Oh, so that was, but then obviously you graduated.
That's right.
And you celebrated with this song?
With this song, yes. We played it a lot.
So we're going to listen to Pulp's Disco 2000, and yeah, take us back there.
I've taken a choice, and I know we'll never meet again. But Deborah, I just wanted you to know I remember every single thing.
But do you recall? Your house was very small, with wood chip on the wall. But when I came round to call, you didn't notice me at all. And that's it, let's roll it up in the year 2000. Won't it be strange when we're all fully grown? Be there to a clock by the fountain down the road.
Money for Nothing by Dire Straits is the next one on your list here. Another big band again. What's the memory for this?
So this memory is a memory of physics notes, physics equations, caffeine, and Red Bulls. So
okay.
So this was my revision song for my finals in my fourth year undergraduate. So in Cambridge you only get exams at the end of summer term. So why the first two terms are, I would say, relative relaxed, all the pressure starts to build up when you come back from your Easter holidays, because it's basically 6 weeks of revision before a week that is called May Week, which happens in June, which is where all the colleges throw their May balls, in fact, mm-hmm. and all the fun happens just before a day called Suicide Sunday. So Suicide Sunday is the Sunday before the exam results start to get posted onto a notice board that's in the center of town. So you wake up on the Monday and walk, and you walk with your head low at that point to the Senate House to read off your final degree mark. But Money for Nothing was always the thing I would play just before I went to sleep after having revised all day. So it's always been stuck with me, this Dire Straits soundtrack, since then.
It's like your meditation track.
That's right.
To empty your head from physics notes.
That's right.
Yeah. Okay. My head's empty of physics notes, so that's quite good. So we're going to listen to Money for Nothing anyway by Dire Straits.
at his own head. The little faggot got his own jet airplane. The little faggot, he's a millionaire. We got the install microwave oven, custom kitchen deliveries. We got to move these refrigerators. We got to move these color TVs. Ooh, I'm Hawaiian noises, he's banging on the bundles like a chimpanzee. Oh, that ain't working. That's the way you do it. Get your money for nothing, get your chicks for free. You got to install microwave oven, custom kitchen delivery. That's the way you do it. You play the guitar on the MTV. That ain't working. That's the way you do it. Money for nothing and your chicks for free. Money for nothing.
Now, this band, Elbow, they've only come up once in this whole series. So new to me, so it's nice to be introduced to new stuff. But you've chosen One Day Like This. Tell me a bit about it.
So I also discovered Elbow serendipitously because I went to watch U2 in Wembley. And for some reason, I mean, Elbow were opening for them. I had never heard them before. And, you know, as soon as they started playing this track, and, you know, there was a BBC Symphony Orchestra with them at the time, I just got a shiver down my spine, you know, and my hairs on my arms started raising. And it was such a beautiful song that it stuck with me. Fast forward a few years, I was invited to one of my best friend's weddings, on the shores of Lake Como, and her husband sang this a cappella, and I was like, wow, there's someone else who knows Elbow. This is such a beautiful song, and I've always got this memory of them saying their vows on the two cypress trees in Lake Como. So every time I have this really clear vision of them saying their vows with a splendid sparkling lake behind them and him singing the song.
Oh, it sounds so romantic. Oh, maybe that's why she married him, because he could sing. But we're going to listen to that and hopefully all enjoy One Day Like This by Elbow. Now, we go on to a Leonard Cohen track now. Love his voice. Closing Time. Is that a particular memory and for this track?
Yeah. So Closing Time, you know, I always joke is the saddest time, right? It's when the bar is closing and everyone has to go home. But Leonard Cohen I discovered on Boxing Day, the same day I met my current partner, Ariadne Massa. And every Boxing Day, my aunt who lives in Mdina allows cousins to bring friends over. So we're about 30, and we were always like playing guitar and putting tracks on. And there was this big debate, I remember, between my cousin Francis and Ariadne, whether Leonard Cohen was a singer or a poet. And you know, these the kind of people a bit like Bob Dylan, and you know, you're not quite sure which category they fit. But I just love his gravelly voice, you know, this voice that you can kind of, you can recognize and you can pick up almost anywhere. And Closing Time then became my favorite when he sadly passed away. And I just played this, I think, on repeat for hours on end until I think Ariadne was threatening to throw me out of the house. Oh. And he's such a beautiful, poet, you know, and he's also been through a lot, you know. I also kind of, identify myself with him. You know, he spent some time in Hydra, which is this Greek island, you know, seeking inspiration and always looking for the next best thing. And also, you know, he helped a lot of people in Canada, I believe. So for me, this Closing Time was really the end of Leonard Cohen, the end of this era of Leonard.
But who won the argument?
I think the jury's still out.
Okay, so we're going to listen to this beautiful song, Closing Time by Leonard Cohen.
I love you and I love what's best, I love you now. now there's nothing left but sorrow when I sink to the world down. And I missed you since the place got wrecked, and I just don't care what happens next. Looks like freedom, but it feels like death. It's something in between, I guess it's closing time. Since our place got wrecked by the winds of change and the weeds of sex, and it looks like freedom, but it feels like death. It's something in between, I guess. It's closing town. Yeah, we're drinking and we're dancing, but there's nothing really happening, and the place is dead as heaven on a Saturday night. She's 100, but she's wearing something tight. And I lift my glass to the awful truth, which can't reveal to the ears of you, except to say it isn't worth a damn. And the whole damn place goes crazy twice, and it's once for the devil and it's once for Christ. But the boss don't like these dizzy heights. We're busted in the blinding lights of closing time. Damn place goes crazy twice, and it's once for the devil and it's once for Christ. But the boss don't like these dizzy heights. We're busted in the blinding light.
Busted in the blinding light.
Busted in the blinding light of closing time. Closing time. Oh, until the bouncers off and then they dance on the polka dots. It's closing. It's piping down, and it's piping lost, and it's hell to pay when the fiddler stops. It's closing
time.
I swear it happened just like this, a silent crowd of hundreds. It's
closing time.
It's a lonely rising inch. I can't say much has happened since, but
closing time.
So this one is not the Englishman, Irishman, Scotsman, but you think it could be with my basic Italian. Eravamo quattro amici al bar. This is Gino Paoli. Why this song?
So I grew up in a village called Attard, and growing up, especially in the years 1994, we were and still are four very good friends. It was myself, Matthew Gutt, Leon Camilleri, and James McAuliffe. And before going up to Partleville, to Coconut and things like this, we used to meet in this bar, which is on this corner, which where the three villages meet. I don't know whether you know it. It's
yes,
called the Three Villages
of
Bar.
Course, yes.
You know, it used to be run by these two old ladies. I don't know whether they still run it anymore, because it's always shut when I pass by. But because James was from Balsan and the three of us were from Attard, we'd always meet there before getting the bus up. And we always used to sing this song before going up. And when we still meet, you know, nowadays in a cuisine somewhere on a Sunday, we always play this song, because it's a song about these four people who have now, you know, I live in Oxford, Leon lives in Attard, Matthew lives in Orme, and James lives in Switzerland. And when we still meet, you know, every Christmas or every time our families manage to bring us together, we always play this song. So for me, this song is a really beautiful song. I even have a sculpture by Andrew Diakonoff of four people sitting around the table drinking at a bar to remind me of this song.
Oh, that's really lovely, because I live close by there, so I will I'll start singing it to myself actually in memory of you guys as I go home. So this is Eravamo Quattro Amici al Bar.
Eravamo quattro amici al bar che volevano cambiare il mondo, destinati a qualche cosa in più che a una donna ad un impiego in banca. Si parlava con profondità di anarchia e di libertà.
Eravamo tre amici al bar, uno si è impiegato in una banca, si può fare molto pure in tre, mentre gli altri se ne stanno a casa. Si parlava in tutta onestà di individui e solidarietà. Tra un bicchiere di vino ed un caffè tiravi fuori i tuoi perché e proponevi i tuoi però. Eravamo due amici al bar, uno è andato con la donna al mare, i più forti però siamo noi, qui non serve mica essere in tanti. Si parlava con tenacità di speranze e possibilità. Tra un bicchiere di whisky ed un caffè tiravi fuori i tuoi perché e proponevi i tuoi sarà. Sono tutti quanti a casa e quest'oggi verso le tre sono venuti quattro ragazzini, sono seduti lì vicino a me con davanti due coche e due caffè. Mi sentivo chiacchierare, han deciso di cambiare tutto questo mondo che non va. Sono qui con quattro amici al bar che hanno voglia di cambiare il mondo.
So you said you live in Oxford. Are you spending half and half your time, or are you just flipped back and forward?
Before COVID, I was spending half and half, but I decided to spend COVID mostly in Malta because we had, you know,
the weather,
and fortunately slightly less restrictions than the UK. So I prefer to spend it here.
But now sort of getting back to normal, I suppose.
That's
ready,
right,
for
yes,
the
yes.
next. Semesters, I suppose. Right. Are you working with the university there? Or
that's right, yeah. Yes. So I've got a research fellowship there in Oxford. Where, so I don't mostly research there. I don't do much teaching because, as I might have mentioned on previous programs, you know, we run and design this big telescope which is in Australia. So we run it mostly from the UK. So that's what I mostly do as my day job in Oxford.
That's quite something to say at a bar, isn't it? You know, it's also, you know, what's your job? And you sort of might embellish slightly, but this is, you've got quite a fancy
I'm
job.
Not sure it's a great shut-up line, though.
I don't know, you've got a lovely girlfriend. But there we go. So we're going to move on to your last track already. And this is another big band. This is Pink Floyd. And but the track is Wish You Were Here. What's the memory associated with that one?
Yeah, so this is you know, a bit of a sad note, which I thought I would end on. And it was the passing away of my mentor in Oxford, Professor Steve Rawlings, who was found dead at home. And at his memorial, where his best friends played this song on acoustic guitar with the choir of St. Peter's College, Oxford, singing this. So I've always associated Steve Rawlings with Pink Floyd and this song going back to his memorial. And I'm still very good friends with his widow, Linda Rawlings. And whenever we meet up, we still play this song to remember Steve.
Oh, it's nice that people can still be with you, you know.
Yes,
so
that's right.
We're going to listen to this track and think of all those that aren't with us today. And this is Wish You Were Here by Pink Floyd. Thank you so much, Christian Zarpadami, for joining me once again on, once again on my show, but this time Musical Memories.
Thank you.
So you think you can tell heaven from hell, blue skies from pain? Can you tell a green field from a cold steel rail, a smile from a veil? Do you think you can tell? Did they get you to train your heroes for ghosts, hot ashes for trees, hot air for a cool breeze, cold comfort for change?
We hope you've enjoyed visiting Musical Memories with me, Monique Chambers, and this week's guest. Tune in next week for more.